I'm a grateful believer. No, I don't think so. I mean, I might sit down later. I don't know. Grateful believer in Jesus Christ, as I mentioned earlier, victorious, at least today, one day at a time, over alcohol. And my name is Jack. And once again, thanks for popping in here tonight. So we're continuing on in our teaching series. We had Jennifer, I think it was 3 weeks ago, kicked us off in our year-long series, because each week, if you're new here, we typically alternate between a testimony, like we had last week, great testimony by Suzanne. Then we do a teaching from one of the 26 lessons that make up the curriculum of this ministry. And then every now and then, we throw in either a special teaching, or like we did an open mic night the Wednesday before Thursday Thanksgiving. We'll probably do some mini monies, so instead of somebody giving a full 20-minute life story, we'll get to hear 3 to 5 minutes of just kind of a snippet of their life and kind of the transformation that's occurring. We'll probably do that and that Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's. But for the most part, we're doing a teaching or a testimony. So about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, Jennifer kicked us off in the series with denial. And we always start with denial in our series because it's a crucial piece that has to happen if we're going to come to terms with getting serious about getting into recovery. And myself, I denied my addiction over decades, honestly. And that, as we talked about in that denial lesson, it did things like isolated me from God. Of course, I was an atheist, so that was not a huge deal. I was majorly isolated from God as an atheist, as you can imagine. But it alienates me from relationships with others because I wanted to drink alone. It lengthens the pain, which seems really odd because a lot of times I think we deny these issues because we think, well, it'll just go away or it'll make it better. And yet all it did was just prolong my addiction, as I mentioned, over decades. And so those are all things of why we need to get out of denial, because you can't work on your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups if you're not going to acknowledge that they're there. And this is a very practical, you know, example. If you go to the doctor and don't tell them what's wrong, they're not going to be able to help you. I mean, they can run some tests and put you in some machines and draw some blood, but if you're there the whole time sitting saying, "I'm fine, why are you here? I don't know, I'm fine." "Well, why are you here?" "I'm fine." They're not going to be able to help you. And so we need to get to that point where we're saying, "I'm sick, and I've got to come to terms with that." And so in our lesson tonight, we start with this idea of working down, just getting this concept through our heads of powerlessness and just how powerless we are. And so let's take a look at our focus principle and steps for this teaching tonight. And that's principle number one: realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life has become unmanageable. And the beatitude that supports that is, happy are those who are spiritually poor, Matthew 5:3. So that idea of, we need to empty ourselves of our spirit so that the Holy Spirit can come in and fill us. And in step one, we admitted we were powerless, there's that word again, over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, and that our lives had become unmanageable. And so you see powerless and unmanageable in both of those. Romans 7:18, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." And that's in probably my favorite, maybe my favorite chapter in all of Scripture, Romans 7, because I really love reading and seeing Paul go through that discussion at the back half of 7, where just the internal battle that he's having. We have that scripture there from 7:18 and 7:15. He says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." In 7:19, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." And he kind of builds this all the way till we get to 7:24, where Paul kind of at his, you know, wit's end exclaims, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" And he answers that question in verse 25, where he said, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so many times we need to get to that point of wretchedness. And I did a teaching some of you participated in that cardboard testimony teaching that I did in Big Church back in, May, I think it was. And I talked about that concept of when our wretchedness outweighs or overpowers our willpower. That's when we're ready to acknowledge that we're powerless. A good friend of mine in CR talks about when my pain outweighed my pride. That's when I was ready for recovery. That's when I was ready. And so that's that whole concept that we're looking at. So powerlessness should be a blessing to you. And that may be hard for some of you to swallow depending on where you are in your path here. And I'm not talking about hopelessness. I'm not talking about helplessness. I'm not talking about you're powerless to have any part of this recovery interaction. That's not what I mean. But realizing that if it's like me, the things that I was doing, the things that I was taking control of and the power that I had was not getting me anywhere near recovery. And so it was only when I acknowledged that I did not have the power to recover myself, that I needed a higher power. And that's why the concept of higher power, whether it's in this program or a secular recovery program, is crucial. I don't think you can recover effectively unless you get out of yourself, unless you acknowledge that. So that's what we're going to be focusing on tonight. So powerless is our acrostic tonight. It is the single longest acrostic in all of CR history. So we'll be moving at a rapid pace tonight to kind of touch on this. But before we get into the actual acrostic, in your handout here, if you're going to follow along or make some notes or something, if you turn it around to the back side, I want to start on the back side, and then we'll get to the acrostic in just a moment. Because part of powerless is acknowledging there's a couple of things that we need to stop doing and a few things that we need to start, okay? And that is really emblematic of recovery, honestly. One of the things that marked what I called recovery before coming into CR was me stopping drinking. And what I learned when I got into CR and when I got a recovery program that actually worked is that's only half of it. Stopping drinking for me was only half recovery. And that's why I never succeeded in all the other times that I just did half, stop drinking, everything will be fine. Now, you have to start doing some other things. We talk about this throughout a number of lessons in this program, that it's not just good enough to turn away, but we need to start moving in a positive direction towards a better life, a better habits, things like that. Okay, and so on the back of your handout there, a couple of things you need to stop denying the pain, and that's why we start with the denial lesson. Stop denying the pain. Let that wretchedness overtake you. That can be hard. That can be frustrating. That can be depressing. That can be emotionally draining. But let that happen. Let get to that point of crying out, what a wretched man or woman I am, knowing that now you're emptying that out, so now that you can let the power of the universe in. Okay, so stop denying the pain. And this does not mean we live as a victim. This does not mean that it's all woe is me. It's just we're gonna realize that this is where I'm at in my life. And now, as I say, one of my most favorite thing about this program is it's all about now what are you going to do about it? That happened. This happened. My walk with alcohol happened. That 20 some odd years of abusing alcohol, abusing people as far as verbally and deceit and all that happened. I need to own that. I need to fully admit that. But it doesn't mean that's what tomorrow is. That doesn't mean that's not who I am. That's not my identity, things like that. So stop denying the pain, and we also need to stop playing God. We see that right in the principles. Realize I am not God. And I don't necessarily mean big G God, where we think that we actually created the universe. Some of you might, and that's delusional, and you need to stop that. But the things that we do in our lives to take control, where we're living from a position of, I've got these nine things. God, you can have this one thing. Okay, it needs to be reversed. So stop playing God in all aspects of your life. So the things we need to start admitting, that we are indeed powerless. And I don't, for me, that's a relief. There was a lot of time and a lot of stress in controlling people and controlling my addiction and planning. I was on a trip to the coast here just the other day, and I remembered vividly a trip I took down there back in the day with my, you know, drinks of choice and all the trouble we got in on that trip and everything, and just thinking, man, that was just a lot of work to hide all that stuff from friends and to get out of the trouble that I got in and everything, and just what a relief that I'm free from that, because I'm powerless in letting God do most of the heavy lifting in my life. So start admitting that we're powerless. Start embracing your powerlessness, in other words. Accept it, okay? And that's a word that we use quite a bit in this program, right? In the Serenity Prayer, accepting the things I cannot change. And that doesn't mean just taking it. That doesn't just mean, okay, it means bringing it into the heart level, truly accepting it, okay? When you get to that stage, that's where I think you'll find some freedom if you're not there yet and you haven't already experienced that. So tap into the power of being powerless, okay? Because there is a tremendous amount of power when you can take those things off of your table. When you don't have to run the universe, you have time to love like you should. You have time to support others like you should. You have time to take care of yourself physically and emotionally like you should. You have time to realize that your healthy boundaries are important so that you can be healthy for those in your life that you care about. All those things as we start admitting our powerlessness. And the other thing we need to start admitting in our lives, that our lives are unmanageable. And that may not be your entire life. I mean, we get people that walk in through these doors in various stages. And for those of you that have been in recovery for a while, you may have more that's manageable in your life because you've been working the principles and working the steps than is unmanageable. But there are probably still some areas that crop up when you're in a step study and kind of diving in deep, or when you're in a small group and sharing, when you go to church and the message just is speaking to you that day. You get into Scripture and God is talking to you in this particular instance. Those are a lot of times the things I'm talking about being unmanageable. So just realize that you don't have it all together, 100%, and that's okay. Once again, very freeing than the person that just has to spend all that energy trying to create this image that it's all together. That's one of the things another thing I just love about this ministry, and why I try to get more people from big church, as I call it, down here to small church, is because this is where you can, it's just so refreshing to be able to walk into a place and just be who you really are. And not have to worry about, well, I got to look a certain way, I got to use a certain language, I got to say a certain thing. Just be you, and then hopefully we're reciprocating with being ourselves back to you, and not judging, and just once again, loving on you. So those are the things that we need to start doing and stop doing. So now let's get into our acrostic, start looking at this idea of powerless. And the acrostic, we're going to be looking at the things in our lives that are the serenity robbers, or the things that just suck serenity away from us. If you were here 4 or 5 weeks ago, I did a teaching just on a portion of the Serenity Prayer, and we talked about serenity, the dictionary definition of serenity, the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. Okay, that idea of what is getting in the way of doing that. Well, as we work through our acrostic tonight, these are some of the things that rob us of that peace, of that serenity. So that's what we're looking at. We need to be able to get to that point where we really can accept the things that we cannot change, and yet still have the courage to change the things we should. And that's, at least that's the reason I show up every Wednesday, because there are things in my life that I should change. And this program helps me do that. The drinking thing, I stopped that and started admitting I was powerless and started attending a recovery program regularly, and so I haven't had a drink in almost 10 years now. But I still need to come here because there's still parts of my life that I'm trying to take control over that I shouldn't, God should, and that every now and then I get into that unmanageable state, okay? And I can even slip into denial, you know, on those things. So that's why I'm continuing to come back here. All right, so as we get into the acrostic, the P stands for pride. And that kind of takes us back to that the beatitude that undergirds principle one, happy are the poor in spirit. Because that's what it's really kind of looking at. It's talking about not people that are poor in spirit as far as it relates to having the spirit in them, the Holy Spirit, but poor in our own spirit. Because the more we are filled with ourselves, the more we're full of ourselves, the less room there is to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so we need to drop, because pride will rob us of that serenity. Because in my life, pride would be telling me, well, you need to do this, you need to say this, you need to wear this, you need to act this way, you need to do these things and not do these things. I had no time to be serene with that schedule, okay? Just because, and it was all pride-driven. Always trying to outthink, outperform, outlook, out whatever, instead of just enjoying life. I have this joke that I use with these people, because I'm probably an idiot, and I am an idiot, but I don't do the selfie thing as much. I don't do that. I had a stranger at the Duck game a few weeks ago ask if he could take a picture with me. It's like, no, that's not normal in my world, but apparently it is out there. So my line with folks is, why don't you be in the moment instead of trying to take a picture of it? You know, that type of thing. And so that idea of pride, for me, I was trying to take a picture of it. You know, I wasn't in the moment because I was always trying to rearrange things. So the P is for pride. That's a serenity sucker. Let's get rid of that. The O for only ifs. If you start playing that game, and that happens a lot of times, especially as we get some clarity, as we get some sobriety, if it's a chemical addiction, as we get some wisdom and some relief from, let's say, toxic habits that we've engaged in. And we start looking at the world a little more clear. The enemy wants to put in, well, only if you'd gotten sober sooner, Jack. Only if you'd, you know, had me in your life sooner. Well, that's not, yeah, I've been, the enemy has been in my life all the time. He's trying to convince me if Jesus had been in my life sooner. I'm missing out. Only if I had done this. Only if I hadn't ended this relationship. Only if I hadn't. And that's just a waste of time. That's not being in reality either. You're spending time usually in the past at that point. And the one day at a time piece is talking about being in the moment. John Baker in the Leader's Guide has a great little phrase, and I've done this lesson before, but I've skipped over this for some reason. I just love it. He says, how reluctantly the mind consents to reality. I love that. And that's so me. My mind does not want to consent to reality a lot of the time. I want to make it. See, I wasn't supposed to be an alcoholic. And my mind would not consent to the reality that drinking at 7 o'clock in the morning and being at the liquor store at 9 o'clock in the morning and finishing a half of a bottle of vodka by noon, I don't want to consent to the reality that maybe that's not right. Maybe that's not normal. And so I love that. How reluctantly the mind consents to reality. Well, part of the problem is if we're doing the only ifs, we're living back in the past instead of focusing on what we can do now. So get rid of those only if thoughts. There's a time to document those and examine those past behaviors when you get into your inventory, if you go through a step study. We definitely want to address these things. Only ifs, I'm not saying you don't, you're not in denial, and you're not just la, 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 la. It just means don't let those distract you from walking the way you should be walking right now, okay? Because that's one of the prime, I think, weapons the enemy uses against us. The W is for worry. John Baker writes, and I happen to agree with this, even though it's a pretty strong statement, and test it in your life. All worrying is a form of not trusting God enough. Let that sit with you for just a moment. All worrying is a form of not trusting God enough. And just think about the things that you worry about, how often you worry, what that worry does for you, and think about, are you including God in that? Or is that whole worry thing, you're not even incorporating God into the equation in that. Matthew 6:34 says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of you tomorrow. Live one day at a time. That's a Living Bible version. But that idea of, and I just happened to come across a thing in the Bible app today. I think it was John Piper talking about this idea, another section of scripture about God doesn't want his children to be anxious. So trust in the Lord, you know, as they say. We definitely have our part. He's not going to do our job. He's not supposed to do our job. But just realize that as we start worrying, where are we taking that? And how often that can lead us down a path that's not healthy. And that can lead us down a path where all of a sudden old behaviors, old reactions, old habits start to rear their head. The E is for escape. Trying to escape, which was a prime strategy for me in my addiction, is a huge energy sucker and a serenity robber. Okay, you're not present, you're not around. It was a lot of work to be a raging alcoholic in denial, and the idea of escaping from things that took a lot of my time, of how I was going to escape certain situations, escape certain people, all of that. This program is about fellowship. Recovery is about coming together. It's about we need each other. So is our faith walk. If you're a believer, we're designed to be in community with each other. And so escaping, just like we talked about in denial, isolating ourselves from God, isolating ourselves from others, is exactly where the enemy wants us. So don't buy into that. So don't fall into the escape trap. The R stands for resentments. Resentments are like an emotional cancer. Somebody said it's like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer, holding a resentment. Drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. Resentment, you know, that type of thing. Resentments can hold us prisoner. And once again, we're not free of that. So we need to, we're spending too much time potentially on those issues or those people that we have resentments on. It's one of the most cleansing parts of one's inventory typically is when you're able to write down those resentments. So get them out. First of all, sometimes they're buried deep. Secondly, to then start working on forgiving folks. And that doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen, you know, one, two, three. Sometimes I just forgave a sister-in-law of mine after about a year or so. But finally got my heart to the right place where I felt I could do that, where it was like, okay, we're probably not going to have a relationship, but she doesn't owe me anything. There's nothing that she needs to do. I don't need to waste any more energy on that. Because it was just causing a lot of stress in my life, and part of she wasn't maybe even aware of that I had these resentments for her and her lifestyle. So let's drop the resentments. The L is for loneliness. So as you begin to face reality and be transparent here at CR and out in the rest of the world, you're going to find that you're not alone. You're not alone in this room. When you go to small group and you share something, you're oftentimes met with nods of, yeah, I've been there, I've done that. If you take the risks appropriately, okay, and appropriate to your where you are in your recovery, but you start going deeper with friends and family, start being more transparent, start living out that powerlessness, you will be surprised probably how many folks gravitate towards you. And share their own hardships, their own struggles, their own walks, because you've made it okay. You've given them permission. You've taken the risk to do that. So you'll find people moving towards you as you exhibit and live that powerless lifestyle. And it seems kind of weird because, you know, aren't we all supposed to be attracted to strong and people that got it together and they're hip and they're swinging and they're groovy and all that? Well, I think we're built for reality, ultimately. That's why we appreciate someone who's genuine with us. That's why I appreciate honesty, even though sometimes it's hard. But when you move into this program and you start working the steps and living the principles, you will find you're not lonely. And especially if you are in a relationship with Christ, because he's always there. And that's one of the benefits of a Christ-centered recovery program is you've always got him in your life. Hebrews 13:1-2. provides us a little encouragement. Continue to love each other with true brotherly love. Don't forget to be kind to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. There's, I think, a part in the training, or the part that John Baker writes, talking about helping out, coming around somebody who is lonely oftentimes cures loneliness, because now you're in community. And so seek out those folks that are on the margin, those folks that are on the perimeter, those folks that maybe you thought you were too good for. I did that. No, I didn't seek them out. I thought I was too good for this person or that person, okay? I am so grateful. I joke about it, to call this group of people my people, okay? Not that you're mine, but that I relate to you and that I can tell you things that I can't, or it's not maybe appropriate to tell other folks because they don't get it. They're not at that level. I'll ease them into it. I think I sometimes an oversharer out there. Sometimes I forget I'm not in a CR meeting. I'm in actually a business meeting. And it's like, ooh, did I say that out loud? Never mind. Strike that from the record. Okay. But I'm just so grateful to be a part of this group of people. And I certainly do not feel lonely. One other thing is, remember, loneliness is a choice. And so choose differently. Okay. All right, the second E in the word powerless is emptiness. Jesus says in John 10:10, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. God doesn't want his kids to be anxious. He doesn't want them to be empty. He wants them to be filled with him, his spirit, or the spirit. He wants us to have full lives. Okay, so it's not just about emptying out the old you. It's allowing the spirit in as well. So it's that two-part thing I talked about earlier. It's not just saying, okay, I'm gonna clean out the trash. You've got to bring in some new stuff, some new furniture after you've, you know, cleaned out the place. All right. And so know that as you walk in your recovery walk, if you are feeling that emptiness inside, reach out to an accountability partner. Reach out to another brother and sister in small group. Reach out to me if you're comfortable doing that, because you don't need to have that feeling. You've got folks that can come around you. And of course, and this is, I've been doing this thing recently where I try as early in the day as possible to greet God. And I am pathetic at that. I will find myself praying for one of my CR brothers because I got their prayer card. I will find myself talking about a piece of scripture with my wife in a discussion. And it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I haven't said, good morning, Lord. How are you? What have you got for me? It's just pathetic. And that idea of, I'm empty of him almost in a way until I do that. So you remember, you always have God to fill those spots as well. But sometimes, you know, as my sponsor says, we need something with skin on it. Okay, we need another brother and sister. I realize I've got the spirit in me. Jesus is always with me. But sometimes, man, I just need to talk to a brother. Okay, talk to a sister. So if you work this program, you will never be empty. So that's the deal. All right, the last two, S. First S, selfishness. Selfishness is a huge serenity sucker. Selfishness leads us back to being the center of our world instead of God being the center of our world. That then leads us back into wanting to be in power instead of embracing our powerless, and often the cycle backs us back into denial, and we don't grow. I know as a person who's chemically or can be chemically addicted, I think I was just naturally hardwired. I don't know if I was an alcoholic and then selfishness, or selfishness and then alcoholic, but it just, you typically see folks like me who struggle with an addiction to substances very selfish. That's why I married the opposite of me, this wonderful giving person. Okay, and so many times you'll find the codependent hanging out with the alcoholic, you know, kind of thing. That's how it works. And when I'm in myself and selfish mode, I'm missing out on so much, and I'm not serene because I'm, once again, it's all about me. It's all about, is the world working? I am not taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. I am just consumed with, why isn't it all about me? And so, once again, not serene. And final S in our acrostic tonight is for separation. I mentioned it earlier. People sometimes say, well, I think God left me. And you really need to think about that, because he doesn't leave. He's always there. He's the constant, okay? We are the separators. God is the seeker. God is pursuing. We tend to be the one running, all right? And so if you just stop and realize that God is there, if you just acknowledge him as being there, then you are at least attached to him. You're not separate. But don't start going down that road where we start going out on our own, because then that, once again, oftentimes lead us into that area of selfishness, back to pride, back to denial, and then we wonder, well, why are things not changing in my life? Because I've kind of rekindled that. This one of my favorite passages in Scripture comes from about separation, certainly comes from Romans 8:38-39, just because I just think it speaks so much about the power, the largeness of God. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so if you are feeling separated, either from God, know this truth, read this truth, okay? I just have all sorts of different pictures of how God, how there's just nothing that can disconnect me from him. If I, other than me, the free will that I have to say, yeah, I got this, I'll do this. So just knowing, you know, where that comes from. So the question I'll leave you with tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to give up these serenity robbers that we've talked about? Ready to give up pride? Ready to stop trying to escape? Ready to think of others instead of only yourself? Are you ready to get out of denial? Ready to stop, you know, living in denial? Stop playing God? In all the things in your life. Are you ready to really embrace your powerlessness and to start living a life that is radically out of your control? And that might feel like, ooh, I was okay until he said that. Well, that's the enemy probably working on you still a little bit. Live life with this radically out of your control, letting God have that control. And this is, once again, there's our part, you know, in it. But if you're ready to start living that life, then you are absolutely in the right place. And I hope to see that you continue to come back as we move through this series, because that's kind of what this whole year of teaching is about, and the lessons in this is how to live that life radically in God's control, if you will, to put it another way. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, take my selfishness from me. Take my desire to control from me. Allow me to see others as you see them. Allow me to love others as you love them. Allow me to face the light that the truth brings, to not be ashamed, to not be afraid, to not be anxious. Lord, let me put my worries all on you, because you are big enough to handle them. And you want your children to be serene. Lord, I just pray that as we go through the rest of our week, as we go through this season that is so amazing, as we think about your son entering our world, that you just continue to place on our heart that we are in the moment one day at a time, that we realize the full extent of who you are and embrace how powerless we really are. And just ask that we just have our hearts filled with that gratitude, that we have a God that is powerful enough. I pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen.